this is Brian Prince. We are on Redmond campus today in building 118. We're at the MVP Summit. We're here with Albert Pasquale. And we met, you're an ASP.NET MVP. Tell me a little bit more about what you've been up to.
Yeah, first, thank you so much for getting me in your video. I'm ASP.NET MVP, as you said. I've been for 2 years. I got awarded in July 2007, and this is my second year. I'm very happy of that. Now I'm in the MVP Summit. A lot of fun, a lot of new things to see. I've been up to, I work for a company called ESRI. We do geographic information system. And pretty much, I like to blog about technology. I like shiny new toys, like everybody else. And I like to write some code in my spare time. So I pretty much, last year, we were talking about Twitter, and I created this Twitter engine with geospatial data, so you can see your friends and your timelines in Twitter, but in a map as well.
Okay.
Pretty much that's what I've been doing in my spare time, away from work or away from any Microsoft technical session.
Okay. So I didn't even know this, but in the Twitter stream, each tweet that I put is tagged with some location information, either my hometown that I put in, or if my client supports it, does it embed GPS coordinates?
Correct. Some mobile devices allows you to click the button to say, this is my location, and if the mobile device has embedded a GPS, it will add that GPS coordinates in your location feed of Twitter. However, you can override that and put your town and your state or your country.
Okay.
Some people on location put, I'm at home. Not very helpful to know where you are. But if you put the address, the many geolocators can actually grab, you'll be able to convert that to a point as well on the map in the world.
Okay. So you built an application that does this. It's open source. What's the URL to the site?
Okay, the URL from the site is geotweeter.net. The open source is in codeplex.com.
Okay.
And geotweeter.
Okay.
All the source code is there. I try to comment all the different parts because many people like to use some of them, some of the DLLs. So anything right now is there. I need to do a new update. It will be up this week now that I have time in the MVP Summit.
Okay. So if I log into the site, if I go to geotweeter.net, I log in with my Twitter credentials, I see a map, and all the people that I follow, I'm going to see their pictures and where they are when they tweeted, right?
Correct. So how it happens is when you log in with your credentials, I pass those credentials to Twitter. I grab your feed, your timeline, and every location I try to convert it to a point. And then you'll see all those on the map and also on the normal standard data grid that Twitter follows with all the people's pictures and tweets.
Okay. So from a user perspective, this is a very simple concept. Now, obviously, you probably wrote it in ASP.NET.
Yes.
Okay.
So the architecture baseline is pretty simple. It's an ASP.NET for authentication and server side content to keep your session and all the security. And then there's the client side for the maps and the AJAX.
So AJAX in the browser.
Yeah. So everything that we try not to do any postback. To try to be a little more web 2.0 compatible, so people don't actually want to see postbacks anymore for some reason.
Yeah.
So when you log in, you can see that it's the only postback between pages. You're going to go to a different page, you're going to see your map, and then you can actually click the button now to find me, and then we'll use your IP address to try to find where are you.
Okay.
Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes the IP address is not the location that you are.
So there's a web client app running with some JavaScript and AJAX talking to the server to do application state things. But you're pulling in Twitter stuff and map, marked up maps. How are you doing that?
Okay, yeah. When you put the credentials, the server side will actually make the HTTP request to Twitter.
Okay.
It will grab the XML that comes back from Twitter. It will convert that to JSON, and then from JSON it will go to the browser, and then JavaScript is second language is JSON. It serializes that and it puts it in the map pretty fast. So all the requests to Twitter go through the server side, ASP.NET 3.5. Yeah, 3.5, I'm using Link. And then we convert that to JSON. But the geocoding of the JSON, it will happen on the client side.
Okay.
Because the different APIs that I can use, they all bounded to your hostname. Mm-hmm. Virtual Earth requires you a key, and they check the refer of the site, so
okay.
It needs to be happening on the client.
In terms of service with Virtual Earth and with other mapping engines, is you the free editions, are your limited number of requests per day, per hour?
Yeah, every single different engines for geo-reference or geocoding your address, they all have limitations, of
yeah.
course, so nobody uses it for free
yeah.
forever. So what I'm trying to do is add as many as possible because I found out that eventually I get an exception, means, hey, you reach the limit. At that moment, I switch to another one.
Okay.
Until I reach the limit again.
So what did you have to do, and the calls are being made, those calls are being made from the browser?
Yes, those are JavaScript.
And what did you do architecturally? Okay, because JavaScript is not a statically typed or a strongly typed language that we're used to, like C Sharp, at least people like me.
Yeah.
How did you do that
yeah.
to shift to different providers?
Exactly. For example, in the JavaScript for Virtual Earth, if you reach the amount that you allowed, it returns an error. Or if at that moment the customer does not have any internet, also will give you that error. Mm-hmm. And then I have a fail method in JavaScript that what it's going to do is just call the next one.
Okay.
That's it. It's just a failover. There is no like a server side switch that will send in Ajax. It's pretty much if one fails, try the other.
Okay. Cool. And then you showed me a feature called GORSS, right? So what's GORSS?
Okay. That's GORSS. Everybody knows the concept of RSS. Mm-hmm. You have a syndication of. If you have a blog, you know what RSS is. It's pretty simple. You can request it by time, and you always receive the newest one. The newest one is first, all the time. So, GORSS, more than anything else, adds more value into RSS. Adds a new tag in XML called point, line, or polygon that you can attach to every single RSS item. So, just extends the RSS to have geography embedded on it.
Okay.
It's a real good thing for real-time information when previously to get geographic information you had to be a static file, KML, shapefiles, geospatial databases. Mm-hmm. There's no way to share that. It's flat files that never get into a real-time. If you really need to send that to somebody for emergency or this is my location, they will never be able to, they have to open the zip file and all that. GORSS allows you to syndicate that and actually have a feed that many people can consume.
So I can consume, I could create a feed in one tool, consume it in others, or use that to share like a collection, or maybe I'm taking a tour for ArcReady, and I could map that out in GORSS and then share that with people.
Exactly, and you can share it on the web, and people can just consume it, and you're only gonna receive the parts that you haven't seen before, like yeah. RSS. So, and all that can be actually shared with 200 people instead of sending a zip file to each person individually.
Now is this just a hobbyist thing, or is this a serious enterprise, right? Because there are some serious enterprise GIS. You know, you work for one of the mount systems out there. I mean, is it being used in those types of scenarios?
GRSS is actually pretty new.
Okay.
If you go to the a person created called grss.org, mm-hmm. and now I don't think it still is considered a standard mm-hmm. on the geospatial infrastructure, but I believe that very soon, as more people push this technology, eventually will be in a standard. I'm hoping.
So we're early on in the adoption.
It has to be tested, has to be adopted, has to have the place on the market, and still I don't think is on that market. But already I have seen many projects start using GRSS as the way to share information, geographic information.
Okay. Now, where are you going to take this next? When's your next version? What are you going to do with it?
Yeah, well, there's many things coming out right now from different companies. And looks like Silverlight is the way to go for Microsoft. They're pushing Silverlight, and looks like maybe I need to create a Silverlight application with a few GRSS feeds and see how it goes. I think that the next version, it will be just that when I have some time.
Cool. Now you blog. What's your blog address?
My blog address is silverlightme.net. Mm-hmm. I blog there, and also I'm in the weblogs.asp.net, Albert Pasquale, all together. Both places, they're mirrors of each other. So like that, I always make sure that one is up.
And you're on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter. My alias is Al Pasquale. You can find me, and and my email address, if somebody wants to actually reach me, that is alpasquale@gmail.com.
Okay.
Those are all my information if you actually want to contact me.
Oh, thanks a lot, Al.
Hey, thank you so much, Brian, for the time.
Thanks a lot.